Welcome to Truth for Today, the Bible Explained, a Christian ministry program that endeavors to accurately teach God's Word in order to challenge, encourage, and edify listeners. Today, we continue our talks on the characteristics of the Great Shepherd, with David Hughes speaking about the Teaching Shepherd.
My daughter has recently started a new school. One of the things we've often talked about during these first few months is what her new teachers are like. In her opinion, some are nice, some are far too strict, and some are really good at explaining things. Good teachers can make all the difference. Some of the subjects which she didn't like in primary school, she now enjoys because she has a teacher who makes the subject come alive for her. Other subjects she's less keen on now, as the teacher seems boring. Today we're continuing our series thinking about the Lord Jesus as the Great Shepherd. The phrase itself is a title of the Lord Jesus in a prayer at the end of the book of Hebrews. Chapter 13, verses 20 and 21 say, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen." The idea of the Lord Jesus as the shepherd is spread throughout the scriptures. Many Christians have enjoyed Psalm 23, which tells us that the Lord is my shepherd. In John 10, the Lord Jesus is the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. In 1 Peter chapter 5, he's the chief shepherd who is the true guide of all God's people. In this series, we've thought so far about the Lord Jesus as the living shepherd, the restoring shepherd, the inflaming shepherd, and the assuring shepherd. So we come today to the Lord Jesus as the teaching shepherd. The exact title never occurs in the scriptures, but I think we can see evidence of the idea in lots of places. Psalm 23 speaks about the Lord, my shepherd, as the one who leads me in paths of righteousness. He's the shepherd who shows his sheep the right way to go and guides us. We see the Lord teaching his followers in John 21. It's the chapter in which Peter is restored to the Lord and is given instruction to feed my sheep. I think this must have been one of the occasions which taught Peter a lot about being a leader amongst God's people. When Peter came to write his first epistle, he spoke to other leaders in the church and told them that their leadership should be like a shepherd leads sheep. They should lead by example and not by bossing people around. Listen to what Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 to 4. "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." Peter was telling the leaders in the church that they should be good guides or teachers of the Lord's people. I started off by saying that a good teacher can make such a difference, but a bad teacher can be so damaging. And that is true in the church as well. Those who lead and teach because they want to lord it over people, or they want to make lots of money, do damage to the church. But those who lead and teach by example and willingly guide the Lord's people are modelling themselves on the chief shepherd. I can't help but think that Peter learnt some of these lessons about leadership during the events described in John 21. In this chapter in particular, Peter and the other disciples learnt from the Lord the very best of teachers. So I want us to think about the things the Lord taught Peter and the other disciples in John chapter 21. We won't study the whole chapter in detail, but I want to highlight four incidents in the chapter that teach Peter something important. The first lesson the Lord taught the disciples is found in verses 4 to 6. I'm going to suggest that in these verses the disciples were taught to obey. Let's read the verses together in John 21, verses 4 to 6. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Peter had decided to go fishing and took six of the other disciples with him. Perhaps after all the chaos of the past few days, which had included failure for Peter, he was going back to something that felt familiar to him. Whatever the reason, Peter and his friends went fishing, but caught nothing all night. As morning came, a man on the shore asked if they had caught anything. When they answered no, the man told them to throw the nets on the other side of the boat, and promised they would find fish on that side. How could the man on the shore have possibly known that? Anyway, the disciples followed the instruction, and the net was suddenly full with fish. An incident like this had happened before in the life of Peter. Luke records an occasion when the Lord was with Peter in the boat, and they made a miraculous catch of fish. The incident is recorded in Luke chapter 5, verses 4 to 7. When Jesus had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they'd done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signalled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. In Luke 5, Peter was resistant to the Lord's instruction. He thought he knew better. After all, he was the experienced fisherman. So there was an initial protest. But even in Luke 5, it's to Peter's credit that he did still obey and let down the net. That act of faith led to a miraculous catch of fish that managed to fill and nearly sink two boats. By the time we come to the verses we've read in John 21, there's no protest this time from Peter, simply obedience. I wonder if it was starting to dawn on Peter who the man on the shore was. Peter obeyed the instruction and was witness to the fact that the Lord provided miraculously for them. Sometimes the Lord asks us to do things that don't completely make sense to us. I suspect Peter didn't really understand what good throwing the net on the other side of the boat would do. But he did it anyway. And this trait of obedience became a way of life for Peter, even when it would cost him. In Acts 5, Peter told the Jerusalem authorities, "We ought to obey God rather than men." It's always good to obey God, even when we don't understand the instructions. Sometimes we may worry that obeying one of the instructions for believers found in the New Testament is likely to cause more problems for us than if we didn't. But we can be sure that it's always best to obey God's word. So let me ask you, what is the Lord asking you to do today? Are you going to come up with reasons why it feels like a bad idea? Or are you going to obey God, knowing that his way is always best? In the next section of John 21, Peter and the other disciples learn that the Lord can provide, but wants to use our contributions. Let's read verses 9 to 13 of John 21. Then, as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. I find this section really interesting. The Lord had miraculously provided for Peter and the disciples. The catch of fish was so large that they had caught 153 fish. I suppose in our day, with massive trawler fishing ships, 153 large fish sounds like a fairly small catch. But in those days, it would have been a huge catch. But when they bring this catch to the shore, they find that the Lord Jesus already has a fire going, and it already has fish on it. Where did those fish come from? We're not told. So when the Lord invites the disciples to come and eat breakfast, he had already provided enough food for them from his own resources. He didn't need their fish, and yet he does ask them to bring some of the fish they've just caught. And I suppose they were added to the fire and cooked for breakfast. The Lord used their contribution. In this brief episode, we see the Lord Jesus tenderly caring for his disciples. He knew that they'd been fishing all night. He knew they were likely tired and hungry, and so he provided breakfast for them. He also used this experience to teach the disciples an important lesson. He didn't need their contributions, but he wanted them. He could provide miraculously. He'd already proved that, but he wanted to use what they brought. Anything offered to him, he could use. I find that so encouraging. Sometimes when the Lord asks me to do something for him, I feel paralyzed by fear. I don't know how I could possibly do what he asks. I feel so ill-equipped. But that doesn't really matter. The Lord can do whatever he wants perfectly well without my help, and yet he graciously gives me opportunity to serve him. He takes whatever feeble service I can offer and works with it for his glory. He doesn't need my time, but he might use it to help some believer in need. He doesn't need me to speak for him, but he might use my words to lead someone to be saved. He doesn't need my money, but he might use it to provide for one of his people. He doesn't need my food, but he might use a meal at my table to encourage and challenge a straying believer. The first two lessons we've considered were for a group of disciples. But the last two lessons I want to notice from the master teacher in John 21 were just for Peter. Let's carry on in the chapter by reading verses 15 to 17. So, when they'd eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." The verses we've read detail the well-known incident of Peter's public restoration. Peter had failed the Lord by denying him three times in the run-up to his crucifixion, but he had realized his failure. We can imagine that he must have felt pretty rubbish thinking about what he had done. But in these verses, the Lord speaks to Peter personally and makes it plain that the Lord still had a role for Peter to play. This is another incredibly gracious lesson from the Teaching Shepherd, with so much in it to encourage us today. Perhaps it is that you failed the Lord in some way this week. Maybe you feel the guilt of having let him down with some sin, small or great. But don't believe the lie that your usefulness for the Lord is all over. Don't believe for a minute that God cannot still use you. Yes, the restoration might be painful. Yes, there might be consequences of failure. But the Lord Jesus always forgives his people when they confess their sin to him. He is always faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. But we've already focused on the restoring shepherd based on these verses in our series on the Great Shepherd. So I don't want to focus much on the restoration side of things, but on the instructions given to Peter. Each time Peter affirmed his love for the Lord, he was given an instruction. Feed my lambs, in verse 15. Tend my sheep, in verse 16. Feed my sheep, in verse 17. Peter had been fed by the Lord, and now the Lord could use him to feed others. Peter's failure had been dealt with, so he could now be useful for the Lord again. In this series, we're thinking of the Lord Jesus as the Great Shepherd. In particular, today we're thinking about the Lord as the shepherd who teaches his sheep. We read from Peter's first epistle at the start today about how church leaders today are under shepherds following the lead of the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus. And I think the Lord's instruction to Peter in John 21 is an example of this. Here is the master teacher, the greatest of shepherds, caring for his sheep. The Lord takes Peter, a single sheep who had gone astray, and tells him to care for the rest of the sheep. He was to feed them and tend them. Christians needed to be taught. They needed to grow in their knowledge of the Lord and be taught how to serve him faithfully. And Peter had a role to play in that. The Lord instructed Peter to care for believers of all ages and stages of life. He was to tend both the sheep and the lambs. Peter needed to make sure that young Christians were taught in a manner they could understand and follow. And Peter needed to teach the older Christians and help them to deepen their relationship with the Lord. Perhaps most of you listening today are not in a position in which you can teach in any official capacity at your church. You might not be a pastor either, with a clear role to care for the believers in the fellowship. But I'm convinced that all believers have a role to play in caring for and teaching other believers. The way that works out will probably differ from person to person. The Lord taught Peter in the verses we've read to care about other believers, and to do what he could to make sure they were looked after and taught. I think that's a lesson we can all learn. So let me ask you which believers you might come across this week who you could care for in some way. Is somebody in need of a verse of scripture to encourage them? Could you recommend a book or a podcast about the Bible to help someone grow in their relationship with the Lord? Could you care practically for someone by calling them to see how they are, or by taking a meal round, or by going to visit them in hospital? Could you help a young family in your congregation by taking an interest in their children? Like I say, the ways that the Lord would challenge each of us in this area will likely be very different. But if the master teacher taught Peter to care about his sheep, I wonder whether you and I have learnt that lesson. We come to our final lesson, found towards the end of John 21. Let's read verses 18 to 22. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." In this chapter, Peter had learnt he had to obey the Lord Jesus. He had learnt that the Lord could provide for him, but he wanted Peter's contribution. Peter had learnt to care for the Lord's people. But there was one final lesson for Peter to learn. In the verses we've just read, the Lord told Peter to follow him. That was what the Lord wanted above all else. But Peter got distracted. He looked around and saw John, another of the Lord's disciples. And Peter's mind started to race. What about this man? What would John have to do for the Lord? Peter even asked the Lord. But the Lord gave a wise reply. "What is that to you? You follow me." Peter didn't need to concern himself with what other people did to serve the Lord. That didn't matter. The Lord wanted Peter to follow him, regardless of what others were doing. That's a hard lesson to learn. It's so easy to focus on what others are doing. Perhaps we feel that some other Christians we know aren't working as hard as us in serving the Lord. Perhaps in our view, they aren't making as big a sacrifice as us. They're not as generous, not as faithful, not as caring as we are. Of course, often the reality is that we don't really see all of what others do, and our opinions can be wrong. But even if we're right, the Lord would teach us, like he taught Peter, that this doesn't matter. What is that to us? We should follow the Lord. So, if you or I find ourselves looking at other Christians this week, who we think aren't doing as much as we are for the Lord, we should remember the words of the Lord Jesus to Peter, "You follow me." Sometimes it's not people doing less than us we focus on, but people who appear to be doing more. John is described as the disciple whom Jesus loved. It's often thought that John described himself in this way because he had a special appreciation for the fact that the Lord loved him. Maybe the other disciples noticed that John seemed especially close to the Lord. Maybe Peter's focus on what John was doing was because he didn't want John to be closer than he was to the Lord. Or he wanted what John had. We don't know. Maybe sometimes I find myself feeling jealous of others who appear to have more gift than I do, or whose ministries the Lord is blessing more than he appears to bless mine. In those moments the Lord would say to me, "What is that to you? You follow me." We don't need to be envious of others' gift. We just need to follow the Lord on the path he calls us to walk. A good teacher makes all the difference. So in John 21, Peter learnt four important lessons from the master teacher, the great shepherd of the sheep. Peter learnt to obey the Lord. He learnt that the Lord provides but uses his contribution. He learnt to care for the Lord's people. And he learnt to follow the Lord and not to worry about what others were doing. These are important lessons for all believers. May the Master Teacher help us to learn them. Thank you for listening to this Truth for Today talk on the Teaching Shepherd, talk T1449.